Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
What do you need, son?
Need to borrow your bow.
Let's drop some lead on those motherfuckers!
Light them up.
They ain't gonna sink this battleship, no way.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. You won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
The boy's alive. We are gonna send somebody to find him.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
What kind of training, son?
Army training, sir!
Army training, sir!
They drew first blood, not me.
Wolverines!
Yes, it is Know Your Tenant Commands, Meet Your Tenant Commands, a feature that we started doing in the summer and have been gradually trying to finish up because there are so many, but, just scheduling and holidays and all of that kind of stuff. But today we have a very special opportunity to talk to Colonel Marshall Strauss Scanlon. He is the commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command for the Army Reserve, located on NAS Pensacola Quarry Station. Colonel Scanlon, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Howdy, it's great to be here. Thank you.
How did I do on finding appropriate Army movies?
You got some of my favorite movies in there. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Absolutely. All right, so I'm going to ask you some very basic questions because I want to make sure that everybody knows what they need to know about what you do. So let's start with the most basic of the questions. This is the one that's going to make me look like a dummy for asking, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it. There's Army and there's Army Reserve. What is the difference, and how does that difference affect what you do?
Well, at first, I'd like to say good morning, Pensacola, and thanks for having us on Pensacola News Radio. On behalf of the 350th Civil Affairs Command, Army Reserve Command, it's a great opportunity to get to know our local community and to do some outreach.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you. So there's actually three parts to the Army. There's the active component Army. They're full-time every day. You think about Fort Liberty, Fort Hood, Fort Drum, all the big posts out there. Then you've got the Army National Guard, of which Florida has a long tradition in history and a great National Guard. Each state and territory has their own. And then there's the Army Reserve, the third component. And we are federal force. We belong to the Army, and we don't report to a governor. And we fill in the gaps that the active component, the active duty forces need to deploy at any time, anywhere, any place. We have the majority of transportation, engineering, medical, civil affairs, psychological operations, communications units, signal, cyber, all of those pieces and parts that make the Army work on the battlefield or in any conflict area or disaster relief area.
And so Army Regular is full-time devoted to that. Army National Guard is obviously very part-time, except during call-ups. Army Reserve is kind of a mixture of those things. Am I wrong?
No, it's more like the National Guard. We're part-time, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year minimum.
Okay.
We do have some full-time forces, and this command, the 350th, actually has a significant amount of forces forward deployed every day, either in Central South America or Europe or Asia or actually here in the United States. So it is a mix because of all of the requirements, but more of a reserve, traditional reserve, 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks a year.
Got it. Very good. So for people who don't know, what is a civil affairs unit? What do you do?
Well, that's a great question because we always get that. We are combat enablers. We multiply the combat power of the brigades and divisions that are actually in the fight. And we do that, and I jokingly say we do that by taking care of the civilians on the battlefield. And we do really one of two ways. We either get the civilians out of the way and protect them somehow, or we get the combat troops to go around the civilians because they're obviously protected and we're not fighting the civilians. We're only fighting another foreign military. And we do that through gaining influence, performing military governance in areas that we've occupied. We work with the local civilian authorities or reestablished authorities through civil military integration. We set up transitional governance. We help rebuild their infrastructure, and we help to stabilize them after conflicts that we're involved in, and during or after conflicts that they're involved in with another third party for allies and partners. We also can use the skill sets we have to support national and military objectives before combat, such as exercises in Central and South America with our partners in North America. And that's where the 350th is focused. But there are three other civil affairs commands that are focused on Asia, Europe, Africa. And so we're all spread out.
Okay, so you're arranged regionally, which, of course, is how the military itself and the Army in particular is arranged regionally. But it sounds like, and maybe this is a term that that is undesirable within your domain, but I'm going to ask anyway because I think it's the term most people would know. It sounds like you are the folks, at least in part, that you are the folks who are involved in the nation-building, nation-rebuilding business. Is that kind of a way to think about it?
That is it. That is our most historic mission, is military governance. And there's some in the government that, don't like that term. Again, this, but it is a treaty obligation under the law of armed conflict, humanitarian law. And that's what we do. And the important thing is we don't want to do it. We want to transition to a host nation governance as quickly as possible and work ourselves out of a job so we get to come home.
So,
at World War II,
Go ahead.
Example is Germany. We did fantastic. Yeah, Germany and Japan are great examples of nation building, of military governance to transitional governance to host nation governance. We're still allies with them. We're still partners with both countries that we were in a very vicious conflict with.
So I would say that, and again, you tell me if I'm wrong, but America prides itself on being a country that goes to war as a last resort, in as just and restrained a way as we possibly can while attempting to achieve the objective, and then does everything we can during and after the fact to mitigate against civilian casualties and to rebuild or at least to foster the possibility of reestablishing that government as functional, successful, and effective because civil government is necessary for quality of life. We're trying to do the just war and the just post-war, and your job is to make sure that happens. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Absolutely. That's always the goal, and it's always a challenge because, we don't get all of the vote. Everyone else involved always gets a vote also.
Yeah. We're talking to Colonel Scantlin from he's a commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command Army Reserve Unit based at Cory Station. Again, we're talking to Colonel Scantlin, the commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command. With my background in ethics and teaching philosophy and thinking about just war theory, I love the fact that there's an entire element of the United States military that is designed around navigating around the civilian population, reducing impact on the civilian population. It's not just something that people dropping a bomb decide not to hit a house. It's that you have an entire affairs division designed to either move them out of the way or work around them. We sometimes call the Army would be like the tip of the spear. You guys are the tip of the just war spear, maintaining the fact that it is a just warfare the way we conduct it. And I love that. How does that work, though, when you're involved in a situation as we did in, say, Afghanistan or Iraq, where, the military is the civilians, is the military? We saw this in Vietnam, too. How does civil affairs handle something like that?
So that makes it much more difficult when you have a counterinsurgency or an uprising where the civilian population is mixed with those military forces. And they're not what we would call a uniformed force, right? They don't. The Iraqi army was very easy to identify. The Taliban was very easy to identify in the beginning of Afghanistan, and it was a military force on force fight. But as we moved in Iraq, and I can speak from my own experience here, I was at the invasion of Iraq, leading the civil affairs team, our most tactical element, as a lieutenant, and it was tough to find out who was a civilian and who wasn't. But we, myself and my team, we focused on the people. We focused on who we were talking to at that time, and treated them like I wanted to be treated: dignity, respect. We listened to what their issues were, and you know, in any war, there are there's collateral damage. We try to minimize it, but it does happen. And so you may have a water tower that's been destroyed or a house that's been hit with either their military forces or our military forces, and just trying to navigate that and get everything turned back on so they can survive. Food, water, air conditioning, electricity, and then started looking at their governance. But it's always a challenge in those kind of environments. You know, and Vietnam was another great example. And what was interesting was that the Vietnamese forces that we were fighting against had fantastic civil affairs operatives and did a really, really good job at influencing the civilian population in a positive way. And they did it better than we did, candidly. And so there's a lot into it.
I was just going to say, that falls under the domain to me of what you sometimes refer to as psychological operations, which has a very sinister sound to it, but is really trying to figure out ways to meet the needs and sort of advertise to and persuade the civilians in an area that we're doing things that are going to be good for them long term, and that, you know, we are the good guys, basically, right?
That is one aspect of psychological operations, is that influence activities on the civilian population. And inside two of the civil affairs commands in the Army Reserve, they each have a psychological operations group, similar to a brigade or an air wing for our Navy people out there, that kind of structure. And they help support all of that. And those forces, those two groups are, again, aligned regionally, so we have some support. But it's not to lie to the civilians or to present a false message. It is, when we're trying to influence the civilians, it's very much factual, fact-based messages to get them to do what we want them to do, either in a pure combat situation or in a governance situation.
I would have to imagine that the skills that make effective civil affairs folks, especially in the psychological operations arena, would translate well to being, I don't know, public affairs officers or PIOs or communication, you know, like that's a lot of what you do. And, you know, you probably do it better when we're involved in foreign conflicts than some of our own governments do it with the domestic population. Well, we're almost out of time. I hate affairs, this. Oh, go ahead.
So I was going to say public affairs is actually separate. We keep a buffer between ourselves because our public affairs teams, and I'm not a public affairs officer, so I apologize to all of them out there if I messed this up a little bit, but they're telling the story of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, all of the armed forces and uniformed forces and the government. They're slightly different than what psychological operations does. The public affairs isn't necessarily seeking to influence, it's just to get our message out there, while psychological operations is a combat force that can either do tactical deception against a military force or influence activities against a civilian force. So it's a little bit different, and we keep a buffer there so that our public affairs teams are never seen as trying to negatively influence or deceive anybody.
I got you. Okay, that makes sense. Just because it's a basic question that people might have, you're located on Corey Station. How many people in your command?
Mm-hmm. So in the headquarters, we have about 300 people that are, majority of them are Army Reserve from all over the southeast of the country. And the rest of the forces inside the subordinate forces for the 350th Civil Affairs Command are located in Texas, here in Florida, New York, Fort Liberty, North Carolina, and California. So we're spread out a little bit all over the place.
And roughly, what's how many total that you oversee?
So there's about 1,900.
Oh, okay.
Total soldiers across the entire footprint. There's about 300 here at Corey Station.
And is it located on Corey because there's intelligence work, there's language work that goes on there, or is there some other reason that I'm, or is it just because it was a convenient place to be?
So we've been here for over 20 years, and the exact reason we were put here, it would be hard for me to
articulate. Okay.
But, yeah, I can say that it is definitely a convenient location, and we like to group a lot of our forces together. There are a lot of things here that Pensacola has that are convenient and good for us. It's a good location. It's central on the Gulf Coast. We have a lot of military support from the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. The Corey Station is secured, so we can have some of our equipment in our motor pool and is inside another fence. And it just gives us opportunities that we may not have if we were just in a city somewhere else.
Well, it's such a...
We've been here for over 20 years.
Yeah, and by the way, I love your symbol that you guys have. Your logo is not the right word. Your patch, essentially, that has a sword and an olive branch, and it has UWF colors, which I don't think was intentional, but it works out well for our community. I like it. But yeah, I think that the average person has no idea that there's a 300 to 11 to 1,200, 1,900 person army command based at Naval Air Station Pensacola, Corps Station. So that's why I wanted to have you on. And your job is to make sure that we do warfare right, that we do warfare generously, helpfully, productively, winning hearts and minds and rebuilding nations after the fact. It's amazing work. You were going to say something, so we're almost complete out of time, but you were going to say, go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to say, that what it takes to be a civil affairs soldier is everything that you see around you. We need communication specialists. We need business people. We need medical. We need legal. We need all of those pieces and parts. And I would really encourage anybody who's listening that wants to serve their community, serve their nation, and make a difference to look us up online. If you Google 350th CA command, we'll pop up. Local recruiters will recruit for us. But there's always another opportunity for you to give back. And then also we have some great benefits for those that do decide to sign up and join the Army Reserve.
I love it. If I weren't 53, I would ask you if you needed a philosopher turned talk show host, but I won't put you on the spot. Colonel Marshall Scanlon, he is the commanding officer of the 350th Civil Affairs Command, Army Reserve, here at NAS Pensacola on board Corey Station. Colonel, thank you for the time. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for sharing your identity and mission with our listeners. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was my pleasure, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Shout to the heart and you're to blame, darling. You give love a bad name.
It's Pensacola Morning News. I'm John Pickens. We have David Wayne standing by in the newsroom for a quick headline or two.
Well, thank you very much, John, and good morning. Firefighters are bracing for the return of strong winds today in Southern California. Of course, those wildfires continuing to just devastate the region there. The Palisades fire is already the most destructive fire in Los Angeles history. Now, so far, it's burned more than 23,000 acres and leaving scores of homes and businesses in ashes. So far they're saying 24 people have been confirmed dead from those fires. More on that with Fox News right now.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. At least 24 are dead and at least a dozen are reported missing from the massive wildfires in Southern California. Firefighters may not get a break today from those Santa Ana winds.
Red flag warning winds. We could see gusts up to 70 miles an hour with low humidity in the teens or lower, a recipe for disaster. The Palisades fire, 13% contained after burning 23,000 acres. The Eden fire, 27% contained after burning 14,000.
Fox's Griff Jenkins in Malibu, that red flag warning runs through Wednesday. That from the National Weather Service. President Biden delivers his final speech on the legacy of his foreign policy decisions. That's at 2 p.m. Eastern. His national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, claims they are very, very close on a deal to free the hostages held by Hamas in the Middle East. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, it is a rainy start to your Monday morning, 46 degrees here across the area today. Well, several local Mardi Gras crews were out for blood in a friendly competition over the weekend. It was a blood drive competition at the Pensacola Parade People Store. That was on West Government Street. The crews all competed to see who could get the most blood donations, and all the donors got a gift card and a shirt for taking part in that event. We've got an update today on the Community Health of Northwest Florida cyber attack. We are learning that they have now fully restored their communication systems. This is after that attack last month. Officials say patients can now use their regular clinic phone number to call and make appointments or fill prescriptions. The temporary hotline number they'd been using, though, will remain online temporarily as a backup measure. That attack last month knocked out their phones, their internet, computer servers, forced the organization to even briefly close down some of their clinics and pharmacies. Now, they did all reopen shortly after that attack. Three people were arrested in relation to a multi-state fraud operation after a traffic stop this weekend in Santa Rosa County. Deputies say they stopped a car for an unsafe lane change, and they found three suspects that had drugs, counterfeit credit cards, and fake identification documents. Deputies say they found seven envelopes in that vehicle with various fake driver's licenses and counterfeit cards. One suspect had $4,000 in cash in his pocket, and officials say they believe that had been taken from a victim's account earlier in the day. 27-year-old Gregory Lamar Vincent, 18-year-old Nico Raja Thomas, and 59-year-old Stephen Ray Adams were all taken to the Santa Rosa jail. They each face multiple felony charges. That includes identity theft and possession of counterfeit IDs and checks on those charges. Well, T-minus 1 week now until the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump. Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a little bit worried about what this could mean for U.S. relations with Venezuela or other Latin American dictatorships.
What I'm concerned about with the incoming administration is that Donald Trump is going to play footsie and either look away and just ignore that Maduro reinstalled himself.
Republican Representative Maria Salazar disagrees, though. She says she believes Trump might be the only person that could command a better outcome. Trump's inauguration falls on the 20th, the same day as the observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Well, Blue Origin's hopes of getting their milestone mission off the ground overnight on the Space Coast were dashed. The private space company founded by Jeff Bezos had to scrub the inaugural launch of their new Glenn rocket from the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. Blue Origin says their goal does remain the same, though, to safely get that rocket into orbit before trying to land their booster in the Atlantic on their drone ship. Right now, there's no word on when their next launch attempt could be. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. A wet start to your morning with showers slowly coming to an end as we head into your late morning, early afternoon. Highs today going to be on the cooler side, topping out today in the 50s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 53. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 41 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEART weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, 46 degrees in Pensacola, 48 in Milton, 44 in Gulf Breeze, and rain all across the area. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in tomorrow at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest. They'll be discussing the ProHealth Medical Membership Program, as well as they are now offering 20 affordable on-site ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you take out the stress from the cost of healthcare tomorrow at 10 with ProHealth on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were thinking about buying a Honda Odyssey, and we had about 6 months we figured left on the main gasket, head gasket for our Grand Caravan, and we just wanted to test drive an Odyssey to make sure it's what we wanted. Nobody had one. It just was the wrong age for the pre-owned certifieds, and it just was a whole mess. We couldn't find one to test drive, but we knew we wanted to make sure what we were going to buy eventually. Well, Frontier had one, and we test drove it, and we loved it. And they said, do you want to look at a price? And we didn't want to be rude and say no. So we looked at the price. And we're like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Can you come down a little bit? And they said, yes. We said, well, can you give us a day? And they said, yes. We said, can you come down a little bit more? And they said, yes. And we said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. I mean, it was that easy. And we wound up buying a one-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it that had come back from an auction in Orlando because the dealership there couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And we got a great deal on an outstanding car that we have loved ever since. And we didn't go to buy a car. We just went to look at it, and we couldn't say no once we saw what they had. That's how easy it is to find good quality cars at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Alex Andrade filling in for Andrew McKay on this rainy Monday morning here in Pensacola. Andrew called me last week, said he was going to be off this week, and asked if I'd consider filling in for him. I don't think he's had politicians normally fill in for him, John, but my whole job today, I feel like, is just to make sure he does not regret asking me to do this. And to get out of here without making anybody mad, getting any FCC fines,
right?
Making sure folks don't tune out and be less entertained. But good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me. And John, how's it going for you this morning?
It's going all right, man. The rain was just crazy. You know, people
just need to slow down, and because there's some huge puddles out there that people were just driving right through, and I'm like, yee.
And I noticed with the heat and everything, if you have heat in your car and it's a little bit cold outside, it's tough to like gauge how to defrost your windows so much. So there's the added visibility issues. But I do serve as a state representative here in Florida, so I'm going to do my best not to make it all about myself today. Normally I'm on the other side of the microphone. we got some good folks coming and calling in later today, but I'm here to talk about whatever folks want to talk about. John, what's the number folks can text in or call in?
It's 850-437-1620. That's 850-437-1620. Hey, I had to look over on the paper over here. I got so many. We have a little cheat sheet over there. I mean, I admit it.
That's always helpful. But we had two delegation meetings last week.
And, yeah, what happened in those meetings?
Well, so for folks who've never attended a delegation meeting, these are kind of constitutional holdovers from back before we had cell phones and email accounts and ability to meet with your legislator, you know, paved roads, the ability to drive and meet with your legislator. So this constitutionally was always designed as at least the one time a year where legislators from each county, legislators that cover each county, get together to meet and then meet with constituents who had requests of some sort to give to legislators before they go to Tallahassee for the 60-day session. We had the Escambia County delegation meeting last week Wednesday and the Santa Rosa County delegation meeting last week Thursday. So I've served as the chair of the Santa Rosa County delegation for, I think, 6 years now. And the unique part about the Santa Rosa delegation meeting was it was the first two-person delegation meeting I've ever hosted, just because we don't have a representative in House District 3 now, with Joel Redman running for Congress. But they were there. If you've never been, it's times for community leaders to come and ask for funds and for folks to ask for legislative priorities. Oftentimes, like news outlets will pick up on some request that somebody's asked. I think last week, the Escambia County Commission submitted a request related to passenger rail. I don't know if y'all covered it. WAR did a piece about the possibility of passenger rail happening.
Interesting. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think the numbers, I think the idea of passenger rail is great. I'm not sure if the numbers will ever work.
Were they talking about like downtown or something like what Miami has where you got the metro rail, or were they talking about service that comes from like Mobile through, you know, like to Orlando or something like that? Is that what they were talking about?
Mobile to like Orlando.
Okay.
I think the Mobile council or commission voted to say that they would not continue allowing passenger rail if it went past them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, but from my perspective, you have Brightline that goes now from Miami to Orlando. Brightline is kind of like posed as a privately run rail, but Brightline always requires some level of subsidy, some level of financial support from the state and the federal government. I don't know if Brightline's ever been profitable. They say they're working towards it, but tickets are somewhat expensive.
I flew into Orlando last year and took it all the way down to Miami to go to a Miami Dolphins game. Just was like, wow.
And the convenience factors there is just financially it's not sustainable without some type of government subsidy. So my take on it is, unless you're willing to say as a city and a county, we're going to subsidize it, I don't know if we're ever going to get it just because our population center is not dense enough to really create that demand. It might get there, and I'm always one to say like I'd rather be wrong and something work than right and something fail.
Right.
But in this circumstance, I just have not seen the numbers pan out to show that it would actually work. Some other great discussions were had. Like a city of Pensacola came and asked for renewal of certain funds and like for ShotSpotter. So when we got ShotSpotter 2 years ago, we got it for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So to keep ShotSpotter, we'd have to keep those funds for we'd have to go get new funds to keep ShotSpotter going in Northwest Florida. And then they asked for, I think it was a fireboat, I think mainly for American Magic. Interestingly enough, I looked up on this year in history, and this year in history in, what was it? It was 1995, the first all-female team competed in the America's Cup sailing.
Wow.
I don't know exactly who that team was, but they did not win. I extrapolate whatever you want from that, but again, I'm Alex Andrade.
It's 5:45 right here on News Radio 1620. We'll be back in a couple of minutes right here.
Investing in times like these can be scary if you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances. Armada Advisors will put you on the right path for success. Hi, I'm Meg. Find out how Wednesday at 10 as Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors will join me on the Pensacola Expert Panel to help you find a better way to successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. That's Wednesday at 10 with Armada Advisors on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We didn't know about a World Wide Web. Was a whole different game being played. Back when I was a kid, want to get down in a cool way. Picture yourself on a beautiful day. Big bell bottoms and groovy long hair. Just a walking in style with a portable CD player. No, you would listen to the music on the AM radio.
Good morning. This is Alex Andrade, State Representative for Florida House District 2 here, filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. John, I don't know if you watched any football this weekend.
Oh, that's all I did.
Did you watch the Chargers game on Nickelodeon?
No, I didn't do that, but I flipped back and forth.
You flipped back and forth? Okay,
yeah.
So the best segment, the best clip, and the it's you see it now like with the Pop-Tarts bowl game. Just like how many different cultural aspects separate from football were entertaining. The Nickelodeon version of the Houston LA game had a feature from Dora the Explorer.
I guess the quarterback didn't either.
Now that's how you swipe.
Imagine Dora the Explorer coming on and talking trash to you about your gameplay. I can't think of a more emasculating way of telling me that I missed a pass as a quarterback.
And you know that that's going to be played in the locker room and all that stuff. I mean, in meetings, they're going to just do it all.
Did you happen to watch the Notre Dame game this weekend?
I did. That was, wow. That was a good game.
So we got Ohio State and Notre Dame now. Who do you think is going to win?
Looking at them both, Ohio State. I hate to say it. I just feel that they're a little more powerful, but you never know with Notre Dame what team is going to show up, you know?
I saw reports of a flu hitting both teams a little bit, so I'm not 100% sure which players are going to play. What day are they playing next week?
I think it's Monday.
Monday night?
Yeah, it's next Monday.
Next week, Monday. So the last time Notre Dame played a national championship, I think most Alabama fans remember how it went. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes, but I have not watched football most of the year. I was not prepared for Florida to end as strong as they did as a Florida fan.
Yeah, I know. You beat Ole Miss. I get it. Yeah, I know. I know. I get it. I'm sorry.
Commissioner Kerry Smith, he made fun of me at a county commission meeting a while back for being a cheerleader at Florida. And I was a cheerleader there for two very, very good years. Back when Urban Meyer was still a good human being in my eyes.
Right.
In like 07, 08. And those were good Tebow years. Tim Tebow was there playing quarterback. It was his Heisman year and then the national championship year.
Mm-hmm.
So those were fun times to be on the sidelines. But after Will Muschamp came and had like the one good Sugar Bowl year, and then you know, we just, Florida's not really been able to figure itself out. So I've gotten more disconnected every year from football, but I was still personally offended when Urban Meyer said the SEC dominance, age of dominance, was over this weekend. I was pretty offended by that.
Yeah. I mean, look at, you know, just Florida, for example. You've got to play Alabama, Georgia, Texas. Just think of all these teams in the gauntlet, just like Ole Miss. We had to go through a gauntlet just to, and we're knocking each other out of the playoffs. So it's just like, you know,
Yeah. So are you a fan of the playoff?
I was until Ole Miss didn't get picked. But, yeah, no, I think it's good because what teams 5, 6, 7, and 8 were the ones that advanced. I mean, think about that. You know, it wasn't number one and number two.
No, I think the playoff model, I think this year is kind of proving the concept of why you have it. There's a lot of teams that are caught out of that top four kind of bubble that have now benefited from it and be able to prove themselves.
I think maybe they should expand the number that are in there.
Beyond 12?
Yeah.
What would be your ideal number?
You know, I don't know because, you know, we got left out.
The only team that's not saying the number needs to expand further is FSU, I'm assuming.
Right.
Because they just missed the cut, too, this year, right? Is that?
Yeah. They what did they win, 2 games? I think they barely made it.
As a Florida fan, I've never, you know, you don't root against teams you don't necessarily like, but seeing where they came last year to this year, you almost feel sorry for them. Almost. Not quite.
Right.
So what else do we have going on this week, you think, in Pensacola? Anything fun?
Oh, we've got that Mardi Gras stuff coming up. The Mardi Gras with Little John and all them.
Was that's this coming Saturday, or was that last Saturday?
Hang on. No. I used to have it on the thing here. Well, we've got Mardi Gras tickets. I mean, not Mardi Gras tickets, Senior Bowl tickets. We'll be giving those away this afternoon. Senior Bowl's coming up. Should be a great one. I'll be going. It's happening February 1st. And then Kristen Austin this afternoon will have a chance for you to win Senior Bowl tickets. So just be sticking around for that.
I just double checked. Yes, the Lil Jon Young Jock concert happened on Saturday.
Okay.
I've not heard any stories about the event, so I'm assuming everybody had a good time and no one got in trouble or made a fool out of themselves.
See, I was wrapped up in football. I'm sorry, I was.
Coming up in a little bit, we're going to have Larry Downs Jr. come on. Larry's, if you're not familiar, Larry's he's a regular at county commission meetings. He's the funniest plumber ever imagine. And he's also a very accomplished boxing referee.
Aren't you going in the ring or something?
No.
No? Oh, well, okay.
At some point, I'd like to. So I've been working out with Larry for a couple months now, like training on boxing. He's got, I would say, the coolest piece of property out on the west side on your way to Perdido, where he's set up like a shipping containers and a roof over them, and it's a boxing ring and a gym and everything. And so I've been training with him. I think at some point it would be fun. It's a cool sport to learn.
Right.
So after I had my first daughter, about 2 years ago, she's turning 2 this month, I gained what I would call a father figure.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dad bod, a father figure. In reality, what that means is over the past 4 years, I've gained about 22 pounds a year. I've done the math. So like figuring out how to learn a skill and work out at the same time and get back into shape, was a big deal. And Larry's been kind enough to open up his gym to me. But he's very close friends with Jorge Masvidal.
Oh.
For those who aren't familiar, Jorge Masvidal is a very accomplished MMA fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He's very famous. He came up with Kimbo Slice. Do you remember Kimbo Slice?
Yes.
So Kimbo Slice became famous in these backyard kind of bare knuckle fights that were not regulated and I would say illegal down in Miami. And Jorge Masvidal was the undercard for these backyard fights for Kimbo at a lower weight. But like the whole concept of these illegal fights, like, is right up Larry Downs' alley.
Because
Larry is a, I wouldn't call him an anarchist. I would say he's a libertarian with an anarchist bent. Larry and Jorge somehow developed this relationship where Jorge's come up to Pensacola secretly to have, you know, to put on some fights in Larry's backyard.
Wow. That's awesome.
And Larry actually just came back from Mississippi, refereeing Jorge's new fight, series. I forget what it's called, but I believe it's bare knuckle boxing that Mississippi has sanctioned.
Oh.
And so Larry's gone over to Mississippi to referee those fights as well. Just one of the most interesting guys you can ever talk to.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'm looking forward to having him on in a couple minutes. But this is, as I said, this is Alex Andrade, state rep for Florida House District 2, and Andrew
is on another vacation.
Good for him.
No, that means that, no, it's not fair. David, is it fair over there?
No, definitely not fair.
I know. You and I still have to get up and come to work.
Having a good time. I do.
Hey, let's check in with David with our headlines.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around these backyard fights going on here, but no, that's pretty cool. I'm excited to hear from Larry Downs Jr. here in a few minutes. The Senate planning to start confirmation hearings this week for some of President-elect Trump's cabinet picks. Senators will be considering Doug Collins, former Navy chaplain, to lead the Department of Veterans Affairs. They'll also be looking at Pete Hegseth for defense secretary this week. A lot of people across the southeast still digging out from heavy snow over the weekend after one of the biggest winter storms in years went through. Parts of Texas apparently saw 10 inches of snow. Memphis got 7 inches of snow. And 2 inches of snow fell in Atlanta. And Disney, Fox, Warner Brothers, Discovery all calling off their plans to launch their sports streaming service, Venu. The company said in a joint statement that it was best to meet the evolving standards of sports fans by focusing on existing products and distribution channels. They had first announced Venu in February, saying it was meant to combine all three companies' live sports assets. It was supposed to launch at the start of NFL season in September, but ended up being delayed.
Well, thank you, David.
John, quick question.
Yes, sir.
Did you wake up Sunday morning and see any snow?
No.
No?
No.
Well, I did, but I don't know. It wasn't much. It was just like a dusting.
No, I saw it too, David.
Did you see it?
Did? Yes.
Okay, good. So we know I'm not crazy. Well, at least not on this topic.
I was going to ask what Kool-Aid you were going through, but
I'm not sure if it was snow or if it was the frost on the ground. But there was definitely some frozen grass in my yard.
Well, so I went and I investigated further, and it was definitely snow. It was on the cover on my truck bed, you know. So I went and looked at it, and there was definitely some snow.
Did you look at any snowflakes?
I did. I did look at the snowflake. It was great.
That's impressive.
They're all unique.
Yeah.
Pulled out. Looking to see which one was
pulled out the magnifying glass, and you know, no, I didn't.
About to say.
I really got into this.
I can tell.
Is a cold front coming back in now with this rain today? Because I normally view the rain as you know, either the harbinger of warmth or cold.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's going to get colder this week. I should probably check the weather. I don't want to give anybody bad information.
High today 53, low tonight 36, high 55. Yeah, we're bound in the mid 50s for the rest of the week.
And then going into Sunday is when the cold front actually comes in. Looks like we're going to hit 31 degrees on Sunday.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that can change, hopefully.
My pastor called it fake Florida yesterday. We live in fake Florida.
And I know living down in South Florida for, you know, 8 to 9 years, I got used to that. Dude, I didn't even own a jacket. But when I came back up here to visit family, I'm like, what is this? You know, I had to go buy a jacket.
Well, I spent the first 18 years of my life in Fort Lauderdale in South Florida.
Oh, okay. So,
Even before that, I was born in the Caribbean. And so I've been moving north my whole life. But in South Florida, so my wife is from here and I'm from South Florida. And we met freshman year of college at UF. And so I would spend breaks driving from Pensacola back to South Florida, and I would notice you could feel the outside of your car getting hotter.
Yes.
Like you just start driving through the swamp and you start noticing, okay, we're getting into tropical territory.
And that's
again.
Real, too. Mm-hmm. It's real.
It is.
All right. It's Pensacola Morning News. We'll be back after David and the News right here on News Radio 92.3.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Three arrests were made in San